You say momhood?
Momhood. Funny.
We're live.
I know, and I'm back in my closet. This is so not as fun as when we're in the trailer on set hanging out.
I know, we're in the car. It's just easier and more natural and more connection, all the things.
I know. So since last week's episode, we received so many DMs from people saying, oh my God, I'm watching The Social Dilemma right now. Or like, I made my husband watch it with me. Wow. We finished the rest of it. So Mr. A and I finished it.
What did you guys think?
He wants to delete everything off his phone. He already didn't have Facebook. Now he's like, I don't like it. I don't want anyone to know what I'm doing. He's always not been that into social media. Yeah. And now because he feels like everything is just being sold to him, he's like, but I'm really the product.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's, oh my God. It's so funny. It's so funny. And that's why I thought it was so weird that Mike didn't like it, that he didn't want to continue watching it. Cause I'm like, God, it would, you know, he has social media just so he can like watch my stories and like see stuff. Like he doesn't have his own. So I would have thought it would have given him so much more like fuel, but he didn't really want to watch it. But it's interesting. I mean, I do think it opened up, like, you know, my brother-in-law yesterday, actually at a dinner for my brother's birthday, was talking about it. And he was just like, literally, it's like you're signing up to be advertised to 24/7. And he's like, it's not even a matter of the platform advertising to you. It's like everyone you follow is advertising to you. Like, he's like, I follow these brands because I love them. Like, they're just trying to get me to buy. Like, he's like, all of a sudden I realized it's just like one big ad, swipe after swipe after swipe. And he's like, and I'm optionally choosing to be a part of it. Like, so it was interesting. I do think it's going to change the way some people think about stuff, but it got us thinking about all sorts of, like, I don't know, just like, what would I have done if I was...
It kind of made me emo too. Oh. Like that storyline about the family, it really had me start thinking about like when I was younger, how I would have handled this, because I've talked about this before, but thinking back to when I was a little girl, you know, middle school, high school, having an added layer of social media and other ways for kids to like bully me or just reach me in a negative way. I don't know. That would have played so many more mind games on my head and in my mind. And I know when we did part one for Susan Yara's interview, when she shared the thing that the boy did to her at school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine if social media was around and people would have posted photos and video and all the things. So I told you I wanted to do this exercise where we each write a letter to our younger self. For me, I wanted to really tackle middle school because that is just like a chapter of my life that sometimes I black out, when really it was such a huge part of my life that shaped who I am today. Totally. But sometimes when we talk about like when we were first time mom, all the things that we've learned, and you always encourage me to write things down, to journal. So I thought this would be a fun exercise where we write letters to our younger selves in a chapter that we want to confront. So I want to know what you did.
So I couldn't really, well, I'm also, disclaimer, as I shared with you some of the Lacey work I'm doing, I'm also like very heady right now. I'm very emotional. I'm very heady. I'm analyzing everything. I'm trying to figure myself out. So there were almost too many letters I wanted to write. But one thing that keeps coming up is just, and there's not an age, it's just like little Orly. It's just little Orly. Like just that idea of like that pure, authentic little person before you realize how you're perceived, before you realize any of that stuff. And so that's who I wrote my letter to. So it's not an age.
Almost like Blakey's age, or just like our girls.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. When Millie walks out of her room with her outfit, or when she says something and she wants to sing and her voice is off key and she's like, yeah, I sounded great, mommy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's something about that age when you're, yeah, it's not registering to you yet. That stuff just doesn't affect you yet. And so that's who I wrote it to. You did, was it an age specific or just middle school?
I think it's kind of my 13-year-old self. So just to give everyone background, in eighth grade, I went to school 1 week like every other kid, and we did the bend and reach test, which checks for scoliosis. And I remember getting up and going to the nurse's office, and every kid, I could hear the nurse kind of say, And she got to my back and she traced her finger along my spine and then she paused. And I was like, what is she doing? What is she doing? She was like, I didn't even know what scoliosis was. I mean, I knew it was like, okay, the curvature of the spine or, you know, they're checking our back to make sure we're growing.
Yeah.
But within a matter of days, my dad and I drove almost 5 hours to El Paso, Texas, where a specialist was there that checked out my back and told us that if I didn't start wearing a full-on back brace from, you know, the top of my neck all the way down my torso, that I would just be hunched over for the rest of my life. It could affect my breathing, my growth, if I could have babies, like so many things because our spine is so powerful in our body. And so when I went to school on Monday and I had, you know, laid in this cast over the weekend and got fitted with this plastic back brace that had Velcro attached to it and, you know, I had to wear a shirt under it and then a shirt over it. And I didn't want anybody to know. And it just, it changed everything. Yeah. I went to school on Monday and it was like I was an alien. And that absolutely affected how I thought about myself, you know, my childhood, my relationship with my family, with my peers and beyond. So it's something that I
can't wait to hear this.
Okay.
Oh my God. I'm afraid I'm going to cry, but I need to hear it. Will you go first?
Okay. I know. I set it up and then I'm like, oh.
I know. Now you're like, let's stop recording.
I'm sweating. Okay. Dear Brandy, I know it feels like this is the hardest thing you've ever experienced. And it feels like you never feel like you belong or like people will ever like you. I'm sorry that you think being different is a bad thing because being different is the best part about you. People are cruel, but they're young and you are too, and the world is so big. I know it feels like what you're experiencing right now in middle school feels like it's all that matters, but it doesn't. I wish you knew how good you are, how important you are, how what you say and what you feel and what you do matters. You are going to do extraordinary things in your life, and when things get hard, you're not going to want to quit. You're not going to give up or lose faith. You can and will overcome any obstacle. You'll find a way to go around it or over it or smash it down. When you feel alone, lean on the friends you have. You really will be friends with them forever. And know that your parents are doing the best job they know how. Let me say it again for you. Your parents are doing the best job they know how. Give your mom grace. She's not always wrong. Your mom is doing the best job she knows how. And one day you two will like each other and it will feel good. The bullying, the loneliness, and the sadness. The story is going to shape who you are for the rest of your life, and it's going to be for the better. This is your story. In fact, all of the amazing things that you're going to do are because of what you're going through right now. Keep your chin up. Ignore the bad. Believe in yourself. Know that you can do anything in the world. You can be anything you want. You can go anywhere you want to go. Nothing is unattainable. Life is going to be better than you ever imagined, and it's because of who you are. When you feel like you don't know who you are, or when you are struggling to understand where you should go or what you should be, remember that in order to find yourself, you must first lose yourself in the service of others. So volunteer, give back, and help those in need. Immerse yourself in others. And when you get scared or doubt any of this, write it down or read a book. Go outside, connect with nature. Spend even more time by yourself than you already do. Always be a leader and make good choices, even if everyone else is doing the opposite. Put God first and family second. Your faith, your health, and your family is really all that will ever matter. Do things on your own more. Don't feel like you have to wait for someone to do it with you. Do it on your own and by yourself, and you'll be even more proud of yourself for it. It's funny because you think that life is what you're living right now, but it only gets better from here. Stay close to God. Keep your faith in Him, your family, and yourself. That's what I wrote.
Oh,
and I did not cry when I wrote it, and I didn't cry when I read it to make sure I didn't have typos. But as I was reading it right now, I almost couldn't see the words anymore because of my tears.
Oh my God, I'm crying.
I mean, this is like my letter for every person, but especially when you're young and you do feel like the world is so big. And I saw that when we were watching The Social Dilemma, just thinking of that age where you're just so unsure of who you are and, you know, what other people say matters. And it feels like everything is so big. And I don't know. I mean, I really had some dark thoughts and dark moments when I was younger. And, you know, there were times where, like, I didn't feel like I had any friends. And my only friends were teachers. And I never got picked. And no one ever wanted to invite me anywhere. And I just felt like, I don't know, like I couldn't, and you know, luckily I felt like I couldn't wait to grow up. Like I was just like, I just want to grow up where I can go somewhere and no one knows, you know, I can like rewrite my own story. I can just get away from here. But sometimes I was just like, I don't know, I just didn't feel good. You know, I didn't feel good about myself, and I don't want young people to ever think that that feeling stays. It doesn't. And luckily sometimes it goes away the next morning. Like sometimes,
yeah,
you know, it can be gone.
I think too, like that my favorite moment of the whole thing was when you're saying like every amazing thing you're going to accomplish is because of what you're going through right now. Cause I think that like, no matter what age you are, that thought process or that perspective can guide you through. Like no matter how bad it is, it's going to be something that propels you into something better. You know, like we're capable. We have this like human spirit that overcomes. Like I think of, you know, I got a DUI at 18. It was the most embarrassing, shameful thing that ever happened to me. But the way I reacted to it and responded to it, and instead of losing a year of my life with no license, living in California where you need a license, I moved to New York, and moving to New York changed my entire life. I mean, my friends, Mike, everything about me changed because of that. And I wouldn't have done it. So it's like, there are these things. And I think when we're in these, I don't know, these dark moments or these ruts or these prolonged dark moments or grief or whatever, like, yeah, knowing that it will be a building block at some point, you know, like it doesn't feel like it now, but it will be a building block at some point.
And like all the experiences that we go through really shape who we are. Like I always think of myself and people as like these like moldable things.
Yeah.
Like we're constantly evolving and changing. I mean, we should constantly be changing. Like the more that we learn, you know, the hopefully wiser we get, the better we get. So I do think that all of those little things that we go through or big things we grow through affect who we are. And hopefully most of the time you can make it into a positive.
Yeah. Mine is so much shorter than yours. I'm afraid that mine's just going to be like, but,
no.
But I'm going to read it. Little Orly. Stay weird, stay wild, stay loud. Always look in for your answers, not out. Out are their answers, the answers that serve them. And you are not them. You are you, a wild, silly, bold, confident creature who makes, creates, and entertains. Don't make yourself small. Evolve, but don't change who you are. Don't be so flexible that you bend over backwards and tied up in knots. Be strong, stand tall, and look ahead. Allow the future you to be an anchor you're tethered to, always pulling you along, guiding you towards something bigger. Have fun. Lighten up. It's all going to work out.
I love that.
It's funny because as I read it, it's like, I need it just as much now as I probably did then, but I feel like then I was weird and wild and loud and I was bold. Like I feel like I'm losing a little bit of that right now.
I don't want you to lose that. Like when I think of you, you're wearing combat boots, a tie-dye sweatshirt, and a tutu. And like you go by the beat of your own drum. You don't care what people think because all that matters is what you think and your family thinks and the people that you love. But I do feel like lately, anytime we chat, like as girlfriends, when we're not on the podcast, it feels like you are bending over backwards for everyone in your life and you're making accommodations for everyone else. And you're always thinking of all these other people, which I think is great. But as we learned in that episode about our genetic DNA. Yeah.
Yeah. Our human design.
Like you are an empath to a fault.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm realizing that right now. And it's, I don't know. It's, I just, that freedom that you have when you're little, like that's, I think where I'm just really, I don't know. Like, and I get that we go through like waves where we get a little bit more emotional. We go through these like waves, and I understand like there's a lot of transition going on in my life right now and with work, and there's just like a lot. Like I'm aware of all those things, but I feel like I'm in like a heavy one right now. Like I feel weighted in a heavy one to the point that I just, you know, so I just feel like that lightness, that boldness, that sort of like blinders on, go forward, whatever you want to do, do it, have fun, be silly, like all that stuff. I'm like a lot more analytical right now. I feel like so it's just a weird process. And so I feel like it's something, this is like a little letter I almost just want to keep in my like bedside table and try to like read consistently to remind myself to get back to that. Cause it's really been a change I felt in the last like 6 months. You know,
I think everyone has too, though, because there's so many other things we have to think about during this pandemic. I mean, this has been like the craziest time in our lives ever, really. And then compounded with the fact that you're responsible for other people. I mean, you're a mom. Right. Like those fun, like free spirited moments, they can be moments, but I don't know if like, I think sometimes we have to grieve that carefreeness because we're not kids anymore. We're not innocent. We know that like bills have to get paid. Expectations have to be met. Like work-life balance has to be figured out. I don't know. Mr. A and I talk about it all the time when we look at Millie, like cuddled on the couch without a care in the world. We're like, gosh, can you imagine being a little kid and just like being able to just watch a cartoon and not have all these other things like constantly going in the back of your head? Like in Social Dilemma, they brought up the whole slot machine analogy, and that applies to everything. Like I've talked about us getting hijacked by life because it just feels like we're getting pulled.
Yeah.
Like when you said tethered and anchored, I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love for someone to just anchor me so I feel planted and grounded instead of just being thrown by everything or constantly having to see what's coming up next on the slots.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect way of putting it. It really is. It's weird. It's weird. And I know we're all dealing with it in a different way, but I was talking with my mom yesterday and I was like, I literally think that like in 5 years from now, there's going to be like legit PTSD from all of this. Like there's going to be like right now we're just one foot in front of the other because you have to, and you just deal with it. And I kind of like, I know how much like I have on my plate. I know how much is going on. I know how much I'm stressed about. I know how much I'm emotional about. I get it. But like one foot in front of the other, like, you know, it's, we want to make sure we get episodes out. So it's, you know, we got to record tonight so we can have something out on Wednesday, like one foot in front of the other. And you just kind of keep on going. And then I feel like I don't know how long, but like in 5 years or something, like when it's like really beyond it, it's just going to become crashing down. And I don't know if like that's just this phase of my life or if it's connected to how crazy this year feels, but
yeah,
you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be that, but I don't know.
I hope not, because I know that when we were all quarantined, like legit weren't leaving our houses, and then things started opening back up again, you even said that you could look back on that time with such a fondness.
Yeah.
Of just like feeling carefree and you, yes. I mean, so I do think that this is like a season right now. And I'm so glad that you did that exercise, because even when I was listening to those words, like I took so much from it. I mean, all of us want to remember like our purest self, like that kid that just had so many dreams. Like you want to be an astronaut? Like, of course you can, baby girl.
Yeah.
You know, and it's now it's like, oh, well, you know, this is what would happen. And that's, you know, I don't know why we put so many filters on ourselves.
Yeah. And I think there's like lately, I think it's, I don't know. I feel like it's connected to like fear or something lately is what I'm feeling, is that it's like, I'm not making the decisions that I know are right to make out of fear, out of what if, out of, I'm not really, you know, it's like, instead of just boldly moving forward, I'm like neither here nor there. And I think that limbo for me is a really tough place for my kind of personality to be in. Like I need to be all in or not. And I'm just kind of like, I'm in this weird limbo phase.
Do you think there's a part of you that might not be an all or nothing person? Like, would it be okay? So for example, a couple months ago, you had said that you felt like during our interviews and when we're talking with experts and stuff, you know, you would agree, but you weren't really agreeing. Mm. But do you think that sometimes, like, you think of yourself one way, but because I believe that sometimes people evolve and they do change for the better, and they just, like, they can be a go with the flow person when they're with specific people, and they can in different areas of their life. What if I challenged you to say that, like, that's who Orly is right now and it's okay? Is that uncomfortable? It feels like it is.
I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm like, I honestly think, and it's funny, Maria Provenzano does the Lacey work. And so when she's seen me over the last few weeks, she just keeps screaming out, "It's fucking Shadow. It's Shadow," and walks away. Like, literally, she just, like, knows where I'm at. Anything. I'm like, "And then this happened and this happened." She's like, "That's because it's Shadow." And, like, she'll just, like, disappear and walk away. I'm like, "God damn it." So I feel a little silly talking about it so much because not everybody is in that, like, it knows about that work or is in that world. But I literally feel like what's happening to me right now is that I've always been, like, exactly who I am. I've always felt very much like who I am. And all of a sudden I started, like, chipping away at the top of it and cracking it open and looking inside, and it got flipped upside down and turned around and blended up and thrown all over the wall. And now I'm, like, looking at all these elements of myself that I'm kind of like, I didn't really know that was part of me. Do I want to put it back in? Do I want to take it and put it back in and then close the, like, and so I'm just, I just literally feel like I'm like, dissected myself so much, and I'm not Orly anymore. I'm 1,000 of these little parts of myself I didn't know I was. And now I'm like, I'm almost paralyzed. And I know that this is part of it, and it just, I'll get clearer. And then it's like, it opens up and things just get better. But it is a really weird mind F when you're in it. And I just think that's where I'm at. So, like, I almost can't say yes to anything. I can't say that's who I am. This is who I, like, I'm almost like, I don't know what those answers are anymore.
Wow. I love that you're actually giving yourself space to do this. And every time you say Shadow, I think about the last scene in Ghost. No, well, not the last scene. The creepy scene when those shadows are, like, I don't know, they're, like, melting away. And every time you say Shadow in that way, it freaks me out.
Yeah.
But as you're talking, I'm also thinking of people that say they're having, like, either an epiphany or a midlife crisis. Like, people that are just like, whoa, holy hell, something happened, and now I'm just reexamining my life, and I'm not quite sure what's going on, but this is where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's how I feel. And it's just, you know, so I'm just a little more emotional. I'm a little more, like, quiet. I'm a little, the only word I can think of is heady. Like, I'm just very, like, in my own head and very, like, you know, not light and carefree. I'm just very, like,
what gets you out of your head? Just curious.
Right now, nothing. Right now, nothing. But normally it's work. It's like having something to do. You kind of have to just go for it. And next thing I know, I feel better and the day has gone by and I've been joking around with people and I've whatever. I don't feel like that right now. But
if you guys that are listening, especially some of you in, like, the mental health space and so forth, like, if you have any suggestions for this, because I do feel like so many of us do get in our head, maybe not to this extreme, but we can't, like, silence the noise and we can't just be. And I don't know if it's as simple as some people are like, okay, just give me a new show that I can watch, that I can zone out to. Like, I just need that space so that my head will and my brain will just stop moving so fast so I can quiet those voices and that noise. Maybe it's running. Like, I would love to figure out what it is for you, because the fact that you're saying that you don't have that feels like you don't have a release, like, or a relief. Like, are you sleeping?
I'm sleeping.
Okay.
I'm sleeping, but it's taking me a really, really long time to fall asleep. And for probably the last 2 weeks, I've had to take, like, CBD every night to fall asleep. And I'm normally not like that, but my brain is just nuts all night long. So I know it's a cyclical thing and I know that it'll go away, as I just sort of complete this process, but it's, it's resulted in something, like, you know, that's a foreign feeling for me and uncomfortable and a little, like, out of control. And I think I like to feel in control of, see, even that, like, I know that I like to have control over certain things. I like to have control over how I feel. I don't like to feel affected by other people. And so when I am, it makes me emotional. And that's why like the whole empathy thing can be difficult for me because I can feel it so much. But like even that, like I think I'm a control, I don't know. You know, it's like even now I'm like, I think this is an element of my personality, but I don't know. It's just going to take me a minute to literally take all the pieces off the wall and put it back in a box. But you know, in the meantime, I'm appreciative to be able to like have a space to talk about it. Cause mm-hmm. I think like there is something, it's almost like the excuse for us to get together. I wouldn't have talked about this tonight. And even talking about it tonight releases a little bit of its pressure in my brain. And like, I feel lighter even right now. And Mike just walked in the door.
Dude, I think the same thing all the time. Like, gonna go record my therapy session. BRB. Yes, but it truly is. And that's why I love when we get messages from all of you that are listening that like it gave you that time to actually think about yourself. And hopefully a lot of you are kind of like reexamining how you can give yourself some more care and attention. And if it is by writing these letters or just listening to our stories and it helps you, that makes me so happy because it's all worth it when I get those messages and we can read them to each other.
No, 100%. 100%. I'm going to literally fold this little thing and put it like in my nightstand.
You should. And can you take the essential oil roller that I gave you and put it on your wrists and just inhale the hell out of it, please?
I'm going to like rub it in my eyeballs. I'm going to put it in all the places. It's just
maybe Orly needs to rub something else.
Is that the problem? Wait a minute. What's going on?
Maybe that's it. I was supposed to get an expert on before this season wrapped. We'll have to maybe do a takeover or next year. Although, guys, we are going to be doing a lot of fun episodes before we wrap this season, including a holiday gift guide, talking about products and gifts you guys can do. I'm already thinking
about doing.
You can put on your list. And then we are going to announce the date for our happy hour live on social. So be sure to follow us on Instagram at Momhood Show. That's where we share all of the most up-to-date news. And of course, our private Facebook group. Just search Momhood on Facebook and you'll find it there. Wow.
Well, listen, you know, you're no matter what, you've got it more together than me. So you're the winner of today. Thank you for prompting this episode. I'm so glad that we did it. And I feel really like I feel so much lighter even just right now after venting it out for a minute. And it's funny too, isn't it? How you can articulate something for the first time in a way you never have on the spot. Like I literally for the first time talking about throwing the pieces against the wall, I feel like I see it now and I'm understanding what I'm feeling more now. And so it's just weird. If you guys, you guys, you know, if you don't have a something like this, an excuse, just set up a date with a girlfriend to just vent and talk about things. Cause if you've got things that are just hiding in the corners of your brain, taking up space and creating anxiety, you need to talk about them because I feel a whole lot better right now. Thanks for listening.
I feel like there is something about the fact that we're recording, you know, because you're like, I need to say something. This is quote unquote live. We're shooting this live. Yeah. So it goes back to the interview that I did with Mr. A because we were recording the conversation. You might hear something different. So try it out. It's not scary. It's fun.
It's not. Use a voice memo. Put your phone between you, do a voice memo, and then listen to it later. And then who knows, maybe you'll start your own podcast and we'll subscribe to your podcast and we'll give you a 5-star review. We'll be one of those people for you. Yeah. All right, Brandy, I love you.
I know. I love you too. Momhood, you guys are the best. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.